With us on the phone right now, one of our favorite guests, of course, is DFW Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He's the assistant director. What's up, Dan? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, no, it's Jagger. What's going on, man?
Hey, we got a couple things that we want to talk about quickly here. One of them's going on at A&M, for example, some things that are going on campuses here with marijuana raids. But there was also some news yesterday from the Attorney General of the United States of America. Let me play what he had to say yesterday about marijuana.
Drugs policy. And right after the inauguration, there were some raids on California medical marijuana dispensaries. Is that was that a deliberate decision by you, by the Justice Department? Is that a prediction of policy going forward? Do you expect those sorts of raids to continue?
No. Well, what the President said during the campaign, you'll be surprised to know, will be consistent with what we'll be doing here in law enforcement. He was my boss during the campaign. He is formally and technically and by law my boss now. And so what he said during the campaign is now American policy.
All right. So, Dan, basically, what was he trying to say?
That the states that have medical marijuana laws, such as California, where they have compassionate grow and so on, they will not be doing federal raids in those states for growing happening within those states.
All right, so that was one of the promises that he had put out there on the campaign trail, and as the Attorney General said yesterday, it was one that they intend to keep. Because that was ridiculous. You have these states who have the right to make their own laws, and then you had these Nazi federal troops coming in like, you know, stormtroopers, busting these places that were providing medical marijuana to people. It was ridiculous, and the money that they were spending, and it was just a really bad situation. So we're glad to see that the federal dogs have been called off and that these states now can patrol and regulate and do what they want with medical marijuana, which is very important.
Well, when you consider that the states themselves have the right to pass their own laws, and things that happen within the states are really under the jurisdiction of the state, the federal government really has no business in anything that happens within the state itself.
Well, they came in and superseded, or at least they claim to have. And then, so that's good news. Now, let's turn our sights here to what's happening down at A&M on the campus there. Tell us a little bit about that, Dan.
Okay, so basically we had a freshman student there who was in the dorm last Monday, and they woke up at, 11 p.m. at night, and their door was open, and the campus police officer standing there with a drug dog demanding to search the room. And essentially, they spent a half an hour trying to convince these kids to let them search the room and all this sort of thing. The drug dog didn't indicate anything, so they moved on. Two doors down the hall, the drug dog indicated, so they sat outside the door waiting for a warrant for 5 hours. So essentially, the UPD on the campus is very going after marijuana users very actively and are using drug dogs in the dorms. And because the dorms are actually the property of the university, the students have no rights to resist the searches whatsoever.
So what made this become an issue, and why would they spend that amount of time sitting for 5 hours, let's say, to go into a campus room where they hope they might find somebody with a couple of roach clips, a couple of, joints, and maybe a bong inside that room?
Yeah, minor possession of paraphernalia at the most, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's not like, unless they had some sort of information that they were running some sort of drug cartel out of one of those rooms, and they were going to open it up and find pounds and pounds and pounds of, multi-thousands of dollars worth of marijuana.
It doesn't happen. If you're running that size of an operation, it's in a private home.
Of course it is. That's what I'm saying. But what instigated all this? Did they just get a hair up their backside and decide, okay, this is what we're going to do. We'll show these kids.
Well, they posted a note in a lobby after this the next day that read, "Due to recent events and numerous complaints, Bryan College Station Police will be conducting random drug dog searches in Moore Hall starting the week of Monday, March 2nd, and continue for the duration of the semester. Drugs will not be tolerated in any way at Texas A&M University."
All right.
Jeez. That's it. That's the sum total of their statement.
Somebody called and complained.
Somebody got a hair up their butt.
Yeah. All right. So now how much time and money are they going to spend trying to enforce the fact that, college students smoke pot. They always have. They always will. Seriously.
$10,000 to $20,000 just cops standing around searching dorms and this sort of thing.
Yeah, because that's the important thing that's going on campus, that kind of crime.
Right. Well, I have some really interesting Texas statistics here for you for the amount of money we spend incarcerating marijuana offenders, if you'd like to hear them.
Please.
Well, basically, so in Texas, we have a very low cost per inmate. It's $13,800 per inmate. Total expenditures every year we spend on incarcerated people are $2.3 billion.
Mm.
So if you look at the national statistics of drug offenders, which are 61%, we're spending $1.4 billion on incarcerating drug offenders alone. And if you look at the percentage of those that are marijuana only, which are 46%, You're talking $656 million we spend each year in Texas only incarcerating our drug offenders. Marijuana only.
Yeah, this is why I saw Ron Paul, congressman from Texas, on the news. Again, still, and he's been consistent with this when he was running for president while he's been in Congress. He talks about many things, and he says this so-called drug war that we have launched is a joke. The amount of money that we spend, just as you were reciting some of those statistics, especially over those low-grade incidents where somebody's got a joint or two or less than an ounce or whatever that, you know, tiny possession is for the average pot smoker, that the harassment, the courts that get backed up, the paperwork, it's just endless. It's ridiculous. And then and then people will see what the cost is. It ends up into the billions of dollars. And Ron Paul's like, look, we can do this from now until eternity. Mm-hmm. And it really isn't going to change anything. If somebody wants to smoke pot, they're going to smoke pot, period. And he even takes it a little bit further. He's like, all the drugs. He's like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you're stupid enough to take drugs, take them, but don't come look at me for help for me once you've, you know, created your own problem. And Mondo, didn't you say the Constitution Party is the same way? Basically, if you get hooked on drugs and stuff, then don't come to the government for a bailout because you were an adult, you decided to do them, so now you're on your own.
Right. Yeah, that's how the Constitutionals Constitution Party also advocates the use of medicinal marijuana in all states. They think that it should be a law.
Yeah, that is beyond me why, especially under a doctor's care, they know it can help. It helps these patients, these people that need this as a prescribed – for whatever it is.
Well, they call the stuff weed for a reason. It just grows. It's a natural plant. It's not something that was synthesized or is created through synthesis or – so any synthetic means, natural, God-given plant that we should be able to use freely.
Yeah. You know, and we bring this up, and a lot of people are very excited when we bring this up and encourage us to continue this fight about medical marijuana use and the legalization and decriminalizing the fact that you might get busted with a joint or two on you. And other people get sick of hearing us talk about it. But I will continue to be outraged at what we spend, the time, the resources, and the money that is spent going after people who smoke pot. It is an outrage, and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, just by the incarceration costs alone, we could eat up 20% of our projected budget shortfall for Texas for 2010, just by releasing marijuana-related offenders.
Yeah, there you go.
20% of our budget shortfall.
And Dan, not to mention the fact that you would erase that from the books as an expense, and then you could add to it if you regulated it, sold it, and taxed it. And Ron Paul, now I'll go back to Ron Paul. Ron Paul's not even in favor of taxing it. He's like, I don't even want to tax it. I'm just saying make it legal, period. But why not tax it and regulate it like you do cigarettes and liquor and gasoline and everything else that comes out of the marketplace that you can earn on?
Well, there's two different points on that. First off, in California right now, there are over 1,000 active pot clubs that are distributing under their compassionate medical care laws. Tax revenues from each is on average of $1 million per year in payroll taxes, state income tax, and sales taxes. So with no special luxury taxes, with no special excise taxes on the product itself, they're earning over $1 billion a year in tax revenues for the state of California.
Wow, and that's without tapping into any kind of like, you know, per diem per ounce or whatever.
Exactly, and that's with the medical marijuana only. They estimate it's only 10 to 20% of users in California that are under medical marijuana use.
Hey, Dan, earlier we were talking about and joking about because Jimmy, our producer, wanted to go to Mexico because there's great deals and it's almost spring break time. There's going to be 100,000 Americans down there, young Americans that go down there because at 18 – they actually, in Mexico, treat you as an adult and allow you to drink alcohol. And also, you know, I think they look the other way as far as the pot is concerned for the most part. So this is what the big draw is. And so all that money goes to Mexico. On the other side of it, though, are the cartels who are trying to control it. If you took it and made it legal, those cartels have to become then legitimate businesses. You would force them to go, just like the mafia had to become legitimate businessmen. Once they broke into the mafia and broke them down, they had to go into legitimate businesses. So you would force these cartels then to stop the killings that they're doing because they're all fighting over control of the drug routes, the control of the territory and all that kind of stuff. If it wasn't illegal, you would have none of that. It's like Prohibition. Have we learned nothing from Prohibition at all?
Absolutely correct. Here we are almost 100 years after the end of Prohibition, and we're still fighting the same wars. where we're creating a criminal environment where it's a high profit margin for these people to grow this plant. It's not as if it has to be imported from another place.
Right.
You simply mount up a guerrilla-style grow operation out in the middle of nowhere, and as long as you don't get found, you have product, and you can sell it for millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and that, they will not stop doing that. I don't care how many troops, how much money you send after them, because it's like the head of the snake. You cut off one, here comes another one behind it.
It's money growing out of the ground for these people.
Yeah.
And as long as they're aggressive about it and pursue it actively, they can make tons of money doing it.
And then if you
legalization and control removes the profit motive completely for them.
Right. And then if you want to concentrate on something that's a little bit more harsh, you know, like cheese and heroin, that's a problem in high schools. And then you can put some real resources to a real problem that you're trying to deal with, as opposed to now they're spread so thin. They're going in circles. That's all they do. They get a big bust here. Next thing you know, here comes another route. I mean, it's just a big circle that they're chasing their tail.
It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah, it is. It is. Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese, Danny. No?
Aww.
Okay, never mind then. Dan is the assistant director of the DFW Normal National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law. They can find you online. They can join your group. And how do they do that, Dan?
We're at dfwnormal.org online. Actually, tomorrow we're having our monthly meeting at 1919 Hemp Hill in Fort Worth. That's one of the big activist centers in Fort Worth, actually. It's pretty interesting if you've never been there.
What time's the meeting?
It's at 4 p.m. Saturday.
I like the fact that they start late.
Oh, yeah. We started before. We generally wrap up about 6.
Why not 4:20?
Well, we say 4 because, you know, people are generally late to our meeting.
Yeah, that's true, especially the people that you attract.
Oh, no doubt.
They're a little slow getting
there. That's why I'm not for marijuana.
All right, so if you go to DFW Normal, it's DFWNORML.
That's correct, the National Organization of Reform Marijuana Law.
Very good. All right, well, good luck
thank
with the meeting,
you.
Dan, and thank you for being on the air with us.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Scheduled for 7.
Well, it sounds nice, Jack. If you release all those pot smokers, can you imagine how crowded Whataburger dry-throughs are going to be now?
It would be. Jim, good morning. You're on the fan.